Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker. You can also find me on the Game Brain podcast. And joining me is the one and only Ronnie Karam. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
How are you? You excited to talk some Shaw's of Sunset today?
Yes, I just want to talk about what it was like to be a gay person dealing with so much.
Do you know how hard it was for me to grow up knowing that someday I would be an adult who has never met baby Shams?
Oh, Shaw's of Sunset.
Shaw's of Sunset. This episode was very much felt a little bit like Odds and Ends. A lot of just sort of stuff. A lot of Nima stuff. They're like, well, it's time for us to cobble together some Nima footage to justify him being a full fledged cast member. So we'll send him on a date. It was one of those episodes, but you know, it's still funny. Still funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I had a good time. Yeah. So do you have anything you want to talk about beforehand? You want any, you know, bedside manner discussion? I'm trying to think if there's a huge storm outside. That's really all I've got today. Some guy came to fill up the propane tank and he was missing a lot of teeth, but he was still really cute. That's really it.
That's really it. Was so upsetting. Yeah.
So let's jump right into Shaw's. So we're at the party. We're at the Friendsgiving party, where Mike has got Paulina on the phone so he can tell her, prove to them that I don't boss you around. Right now, do it. Oh, hey, wait, before you do it, rub your belly and pat your head at the same time you tell them that I don't boss you around. Go ahead, Paulina.
So she says, you know what, guys, I actually have something to say, okay? You guys are supposed to be the closest people to him, and why is it that I can't feel like I can come to you guys and trust you guys? I'm like, since when does that...
Because they're not your friends, loser, okay? Go get your own damn friends. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you why you don't feel like you can trust them. Because they're on a TV show where they're motivated to... be terrible friends to each other, and you knew that
also,
going into
it. Because they're terrible friends, and your boyfriend is a terrible person, and so are all the people you're talking to right now on speakerphone, okay? Why do you think?
Yeah, and since we're talking in this tone of voice, Ronnie, I just want to add that I had a very, very disturbing dream where I was working for Mama D, and it was really stressful, and I'm like really mad at her for like she was a terrible boss to me, but it was luckily just a dream.
You see? So she's like, and Gigi's like, wait a minute, why is it that I don't trust, what's this? Like, why are we the bad people? Why don't I get to not trust you?
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm sorry, but best friends do not react the way that you guys react. Yeah, they don't react the way that you want them to when you send like 10 people all of your boyfriend's screenshots of the shit he's been up to. How did you want them to react? They told him he was an asshole and have been skewering him for the past few months. Like, what more did you want, lady?
Exactly. You sent them the screenshots and they're like, you're full of it. He lied to them and he tried to make them like he tried to do this whole thing about, you know, how he was hacked by someone. He does this bullshit to his very friends. By the way, how about that? They're supposed to be his best friends. So why is he lying to them when like he doesn't have to lie to them about this sort of bullshit? And now they've basically been like, OK, this guy's a fuckboy. He always will be. So you should get out of here, Paulina. That's like truthfully a very honest response. And I don't know why she's mad about it.
I know, they're sticking up for her, and they are currently sticking up for her, even in this phone call. Yeah. So Destiny's like, wait, but Paulina June, what did I do? And she goes, oh, MJ, you have been a doll, actually. Thank you for that. Now get your finger back in the pickle jar and just enjoy yourself, because this does not concern you, okay, honey?
Yeah. So Destiny's like, you know what? Paulina just has to say and do whatever she has to make Mike think that she's got her his back. That's what it is. So she basically thinks that even this, what Paulina's saying, is kind of just a facade because she's in a relationship where she has no control, which I think is probably true.
Oh, so Destiny's like, what your girl told you is like one thing, and what she told me is a totally different thing. And Gigi's like, well, could it be that she's doing both, you guys? Because that is, in fact, what she's doing. And Destiny's like, well, what makes me confused about all this? And Mike's like, no, what if we were in a bad place when she said those things to you, Destiny? She's like, I don't care. All I want you to know is that I was there in the same space, okay?
Yeah.
I'm boss. Keep your mouth shut, Mikey. That's what you need to do right now.
And he's like, well, let me ask you this, not Paulina. Have you been in a relationship where one day you love someone and the next day you want to fucking kill them? Do you ever have been in a relationship where you just love someone and you love someone and then the next day you just cheat on them because you want to kill them so much because they're like really annoying to you? How about that? Like, that's like a normal thing. You just like cheat on them and you cheat on them with like 3 different people in one day. And then you tell them, you know, like you are, you know, like Vladimir Putin, like broke into your phone. Like, that's happened. That's like normal, right? That's like every relationship, right?
No. Then clearly you have not been in a real relationship. Paulina!
You've been in spook relationships.
Gigi's like, are you looking out for Mikey or what, Destiny? She goes, I'm looking out for Paulina at this point because at the end of the day, you get nothing for nothing. Mikey June and Paulina June share a pillow June. And I'm not trying to get involved in their June. Okay?
You know what? Can we let this go now? Okay? Like, is this done? Because I want to move the fuck on. Okay? I'm tired of this shit. Okay? Let's stick up for each other and be a group of friends that has each other's backs for whoever we date, whoever we bring around, and whatever spoof text messages you send. Okay? Respect them. Enough of this shit. Enough of it, Paulinas.
So then Reza's just swirling his champagne like it's a fine wine. He's like, with his weird pashmina at the end of the table. And Mike is now standing, and Destiny's standing, because they're like facing off. And I guess you just stand if you want to talk in this group. Yeah. So he's like, I apologize to you, Destiny. And she's like, but while you're here, you need to get past it with Reza too. So Reza stands up, and he's like, yeah. I am standing as well now. And he's like, are we going to get past this, Reza? And he goes, of course we are. Because you are my friend and I love you. Lip bite, which means I'm completely lying through this entire scene. Lip bite.
Just tell me one thing, okay? What did I do that triggered you, not Paulina? And he's like, well, your dishonesty triggers me. Ah, but then I was honest. I was dishonest, but then I was honest. So if you were triggered, you should be untriggered by now, do you see? Because unless that was spoof trigger. Was it a spoof trigger? Spoof trigger.
Right now, I'm being honest about being dishonest, which is double honesty. So now you should be double untriggered, okay? And he's like, well, but it takes a long time for you to get to your honesty. He's like, yes, because do you know why? Because I felt embarrassed. Yeah, but you always feel embarrassed. Yeah, because when I do something wrong, I feel embarrassed, okay? Yeah, that's the point.
I like Mike is now the victim of his own wrongdoings. He's like, you know, like you should feel bad for me because I'm embarrassed about the wrong thing that I did. It's like, you don't get to be the victim. If you did something wrong and you're embarrassed, that's part of the consequence, okay? You don't get to be the victim because you're embarrassed over your own bad actions. Like, if you were flirting with other girls that were not Paulina, that's your fault. And you have to accept the fact that people are going to be annoyed that you lied to them about it.
So he's like, you just want me to be like Reza, Paulina. He's like, no, I just don't want you to be a liar. Oh, yeah? Well, you want to talk about honesty? Then let's be honest. You hurt me. You hurt me. And then he does his whole, like, I'm playing with my collar now, my mafia collar, because I'm feeling things. I'm feeling things.
Because I'm honest.
Well, I apologize for hurting you, because deep down, inside, Mike's heart is gold. He just needs to find his way because he's gained a lot of weight. So there's a lot of man flesh around that golden heart. That's very small, a very small golden heart. It's like a little M&M in the shape of a heart that's all the way down in there. That's it.
I love when people say, oh, he's a good person. Oh, other than the like chronic lying and chronic cheating.
Yeah.
He's a great person. He's like, but I love him. He is the closest thing I've had to a brother. We've all forgotten about my last season, correct? Have we all forgotten? He's really laying it on thick this year, Reza. So he's exactly. Like, well, I'm very thankful for the conversations this evening. I hope they open a pathway to something new, different,
better, stronger memoirs of a geisha.
I'm just hoping that these open a pathway to not only something bigger and beautiful and stronger, but maybe even small and not speaking words yet, and baby-like and shams.
Oh, that was beautiful. London's over there, like, nodding her head, like, wow, babe. Beautiful, yeah. Babe. So then MJ hiccups, and we find out that MJ is now just schnockered. She's completely shit-faced. She's like, I'm 100% on the same page. Because when Reza and Mike fell out, it was really hard for me, because I was, like, a hypocrite. Because, like, you want to be there for one terrible person, but if you're there for one terrible person, you can't be there for another terrible person. It's like, which terrible person do you choose?
Yeah, and Gigi is like, oh god, like, if you just, like, drain the alcohol out of her, all you'd hear is everyone should just get along, you know. So then MJ is like, Gigi, I just want to tell you, I fucking love you. And Gigi's like, well, I need to see, like, there has to be consistency of, like, what you're saying. I need to see it. Hug me. And then she just, like, grabs Gigi's chair and just, like, yanks it over, just, like, forces her to hug.
Yeah, so Gigi has to go. She's like, I have to smoke some weed now. So she leaves, and Nima tells Destiny, I find her sassy attitude so fucking hot, Destiny. Like, it's so sassy. I want to have, like, so much sex with her. I'm sexified right now. I'm virile. That's the word I was looking for. I'm, like, so virile right now.
It's ridiculous how hot I find it. I mean, we have a staggering amount of sexual chemistry on the other side of our staggering amount of drama. It's just absolutely insane. Hey, Destiny, babe, you look hot tonight, too. How are you not crushing guys left and right? Because you know what? I crush apps, so you must be able to crush apps, too. God, it's staggering how many apps the two of us could probably crush right now as two virile, hot people who could date. Whoa, sassy hotness.
And he's like, I wonder if Destiny is a better kisser than Gigi. I should find out. No, don't find out, okay? Stop trying to fuck everybody at work, you thirst bucket, okay? He is such a wannabe. Get out of here.
So then the next day, Mike's at his apartment, and he's FaceTiming with Nima, and he starts, like, flexing his arm for him, and Nima's like, wow, you've really slimmed down a lot, man. You've really changed your brand, and I like the direction it's going for. Yeah, it makes my cock look bigger, Nima, huh?
Like, oh, so then we get another Destiny thirst scene. So she's like, let's start the day by getting rid of evil spirits, Frankie. Come on, Frankie June. And she's like, got a Turkish coffee pot thing, I guess, with some kind of incense in it. So she's like lifting up her leg and putting it in her vag and stuff. And she's like, bless my nas, my titties, this bruise, everything. Bless everything, Frankie.
And then it was, like, mildly better than the car wash scene. And then we go over to MJ feeding shams, and Tommy's there. And she's like, hey, can you just entertain him while I do a few things? He was like, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello. And she's like, stop it. You sound like a clown.
You said you wanted me to entertain him, huh?
So then we go to Reza. Fine
words these days on Bravo. You got to be careful saying that.
So just in case anyone's wondering what brand Reza has emblazoned on him this episode, it's Balmain. Yeah. Balmain Paris, okay.
But maybe the better brand is the restaurant he goes to, Stout. So Reza is there with Destiny. He's like, oh my god, you look so hot. You look smoking. Damn. And they're there. Some guy sitting alone at a table right behind them. And I don't know. Part of me thinks, like, was he like the production accountant that they just put back there? I'm like, this poor guy is just trying to eat his french fries and peas. And he's stuck on camera while Reza to everything is like, wow, you look so hot right now. You are hot. Look at my Balmain shirt. Is this a hot shirt or what? I have the hottest shirts and the hottest friends. Damn.
Oh my god, I feel like I lost 10 pounds from that party. You know, I've lost, like, so much since starting my new book. Like, I'm just like a hot minute from interviewing my mom to fill the gap about how sexy I am now. Bitch, lost 42 pounds, bitch.
Moms be like, I'm gonna answer questions for my son's autobiography. And moms be like, okay. And I'm like, please answer the questions. It's gonna be so good, bitch. Moms wrote 40 words per minute, bitch.
Oh my god, I'm so excited about your book. I'm so excited. Oh my god, I'm so excited.
These two are really
so over the top. And then Gigi shows up and it starts up all over again. What's up, sexy?
Oh, I have the hottest girlfriends in LA, by the way.
How's Elijah? Has he learned to knock yet? Okay, tell us things that he's doing right now.
It's like, well, like, he's crawling around, and then, like, he's trying to say mama, and then we just see the baby going, blub, 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 blub.
Just the baby just existing in different angles from these flashbacks. She's like, yeah, he's learning Thai. The baby's like, so,
see, okay, I'm going to temporarily cry about the fact that I still have not seen Baby Shams. Anyway, I'm so sorry I couldn't find you a house.
So she found a house, so she's going to be moving into her new place. And then they give a cheers with their sour beer. Ooh, I love sour. Let's all do sour.
Yeah,
was anyone really looking forward to actually eating at Friendsgiving? Because MJ be like putting her finger into everything and there's dirt under that nail. Bitch be like, dirty finger.
If Mike wants to lose those boobs, we should tell him he can only eat around MJ because that's the only place he refuses.
So Gigi's like, well, speaking of Mike, and he's like, yeah, he was saying, like, I need you to be cool with me and have fun with me and be friends with me. And I'm like, I am friends with you. And then something clicked. Like, he wants me to meet Mike where Mike is, but, like, I'm, like, a way better friend to Mike than Mike is to me.
Yeah. So then Gigi she thinks Mike, she's like, you know, if Mike were sitting here, he'd probably be saying the same thing about you, right? And he always thinking, Mike's thinking, I don't do anything, and then this guy's always coming for me, which is true. That is what Mike always says. But that's what's funny.
And it's also Mike, true. It's also, well, what's happening.
Half true. Mike did lie to all of them. I'm sorry. I feel like that keeps on getting overlooked. Mike went to each and every one of them and sold them a story, and they all knew it was bullshit, and they were all like, just tell us the truth, and he wouldn't tell the truth. I mean, that is a dishonest thing. It's like it's you know what? It's just more annoying, and he just acts like,
well, it's
just
none of their damn business. And they do. Reza does this to Mike. Now, Mike is, I'm not standing for Mike or anything, but Reza does come for Mike every single season and every relationship, and does mock him constantly. Like, he is always coming for Mike.
He is, but so that's Mike's fault for still being friends with Reza after all these years, for crying out loud. I mean, the definition of a toxic friend right there, and he still goes back. And then, I don't know, I just feel like he gives Reza so much grist for the mill. So it's like, at a certain point, it's like, dude, this is on you. So, so Gigi just doesn't, she just doesn't think that Mike's shit is her business, you know? And Reza gives this bullshit where he goes,
you know what? It's about wanting my friends to be the best versions of themselves. I mean, when he's 41, like, when does the best version come along? Like, what is the best version of Mike?
Just last year, you were telling someone that their uterus exploded because they had 10 abortions. So your best self isn't even trying to come out until you're, what, 50? So... Yeah. You know, he's got a few years, according to your timeline.
Sir!
Yeah. So, Gigi's advice is hilarious, which is that basically Reza needs to lower his expectations. That's how to be friends with Mike. Just lower your expectations.
Yeah, and Gigi is sticking up for Mike so much because she's sick of Reza coming for her relationships, too. Because let's not forget that Gigi also gets it from everybody every time she's in a crazy relationship, right? So she's like, well, where do we... I like that she's sticking her ground with Reza. Like, she's not going back on anything. And he's like, well, I just don't have any answers. So then we get London coming over to Nima's house. And she's like, babe, babe. And he's like, babe, babe, bro, babe. Babe, bro. It's like, babe, babe.
I went 1950s Persian on you and I ordered food for you. Okay, I hope you don't have an allergy to kale. God, this sassy banter is amazing. It's too bad that you're a lesbian.
This is my favorite salad at Earth. It's like, oh, that's such a Nima thing to say.
I know. It's a cafe here in Los Angeles.
Oh, it's my favorite thing at Earth.
My favorite thing at Earth Cafe is the kale salad. It's like literally the most basic statement you could ever make in Los Angeles.
She's like, wow, very exotic. I love it.
Yeah, that kale salad from Earth.
Wow, that unique kale salad. Commercials. Here comes one right now. So, Nima, are you active on any dating apps?
Yes, I'm crushing the dating apps. Just totally crushing it right now. Wow.
And babe, what was your purpose for signing up on those apps? He goes, to have lots and lots of sex. Yeah, totally have tons of sex. Okay.
Well, is that your purpose, babe?
No, actually, there's a real disconnect between my purpose and my brand, and it's the difference between quality and quantity, okay? I need to synergize because I need my wife someday, and, you know, having a dating coach and a lesbian, how much more insight into the female psyche can one have besides London? I'm like... I feel like there's actually a lot of room for a lot more insight into the female psyche than either of you two right now.
Oh, Nima. So he's like, so what happens with me or like 90% of the girls I meet, like they fall into one category, right? Right? I mean, there's like 90% of them are like, they're fine, like hang and bang, you know? And then like 10% of them are decent or whatever. And 1%, that's who pushes through. And she goes, So when does it just happen? When are you going to tell yourself that you're just going to let this happen, babe? And he's like, babe, look, just why don't you just look at my bio and tell me if it's a vibe. Tell me if it's a good vibe or a bad vibe or if it's just a vibe. Okay? Look it over.
All right, babe, I'm going to look at this. Okay, this end starts off well. I get along best with people who have, and then an unhealthy obsession with brunch. At Earth Cafe specifically, at Earth Cafe. Oh, God, kale salads. Oh, my God, they have a staggering amount of kale salads to choose from. Oh, and they're all delicious.
She's like, babe. And he goes, what do you want me to say? Like, I'm in touch with my inner child? Because I'm not. My inner child is still very upset with my father. Okay? And she's like, no, babe. Like, that's too deep. But like, babe, look what you're showing, babe. Like, you should not go out with me if you hate pizza or sushi. It won't work. Like, who says that, babe? And he goes, yeah, but it won't work. It won't, bro.
He's like, these are great answers. These are great answers, which is why I asked for your advice, because I already gave great answers, okay? So she goes, how about you say, I get along best with people, babe, who truly know themselves, babe, and know what they want, babe, and no.
It's like, what am I, a lesbian? God!
This isn't the Gettysburg address, okay? This should be the Earth Cafe address, because I'd like to order from it, thank you very much.
Because God, that works for lesbians, but not single skinny girls who like to do coke on the weekends and fuck like maniacs, all right? She goes, but you don't want to be with someone like that. He goes, or lesbians, okay? Find the middle. Find the middle between coke whore and lesbian, okay?
This guy has... It's like... It's just so awful. It's like... How is this your view of women? Or how is this your view of like what you your masculinity actually? Because he's thinking like he has to act a certain way. If he acts one way, he's only gonna get coke whores, and the other way he's only gonna get lesbians. I mean, it's actually like it's just sad. So sad and like kind of offensive and
well, it's try hard because he's trying to come off as like a Mike and Shervin player, right? Like he just wants to be one of those guys. He's like, yeah, I want to bang a girl who's into coke on the weekend. I fuck all the time. All I do is fuck. That's all I do. It's like, you do not fuck. What you do not live like this. You are not looking for a girl who's doing coke all the time. Like yeah. He's trying to be a douchebag, but his dating profile shows who he really is. You know, it's like, oh, you better like kale salad.
I love
brunch. I don't like pizza and sushi. Oh, we're in trouble now.
I know. He goes, I'm either going to attract emotional train wrecks or they're going to think I'm a little bitch. London, guide my cock. Don't block my cock. I'm like, Nima, stop. Stop this. You're a lost cause, okay? Because no matter who you attract, they're going to see this scene eventually and they're going to walk away from you.
The only evidence we've seen of Nima, okay? We've seen Nima trying to get with Gigi, which wasn't even real. And then now we're going to see him try to get with Destiny, which is obviously just him trying to get a storyline as well. Then we saw his ex-wife, who just seemed to hate him even before she found out he tried to kiss Gigi. And yeah. That's really... And then we saw him, that really awkward date last year. Yeah. I think it was last season, where the girl was like, ugh. yeah, she like was grossed out and couldn't wait to get the fuck away from there. So don't please stop this act. It's making me sad for you.
He's just not comfortable in his own body or with his masculinity. And this is like, unfortunately, gosh, I feel like I've met a lot of bros like this, or I've had some friends who are like this too, where they kind of like, they lean in all the wrong ways on the bro stuff. And so it just comes off as creepy because it's not authentic and they don't really know how to do it. And it's just like, dude, just chill out, because like, if he just chilled out, he would be like the best of all the guys on this show, right? Like he seems arguably like one of the smarter people here, and he's nice looking and everything. He could be the best, but his deep insecurities are kind of making him one of the worst.
Yeah. So he's like, look, I'm telling you, my dating app profiles crush, okay? Now listen, I've got a few dates coming up because that's how much my profiles crush. So why don't you write me a series of questions, and on the next day, I'll ask one of the girls. And she's like, babe, what better way to facilitate this than earpieces? Are you saying Cyrano? God, I love that movie. I love that movie. Girl, can we just watch that with some pizza and some sushi? Not yeah. Fuck your brains out.
This is
all I want to do is fuck.
This suggestion for you, Nima, is totally coming from me and was not planned by the producers. We're going to put an earpiece in you, and I'm going to go on a date with you, and I'm going to sit at the other table. It's going to be a totally natural thing that I've totally done with other people, because I do have access to earpieces. It's totally normal, babe.
Mm-hmm, God. So then we go to Mike pretending that he's not just basically living in a youth hostel with a glory hole in the bathroom. Okay. So he's trying to pretend he's cleaning his apartment. He's rinsing out a glass of rosé because, you know, his ass does not have more than two glasses and neither one yes. of them is clean. And Gigi comes over and he's like, well, look what I got you. Look what I got you. I made sure you had chips. And he mm-hmm. opens the cabinet and the only thing in there is that one sad little bag of chips.
I know. What is happening here in this sepia toned apartment? So he's like, how dope is it that you came over, huh? How dope is it, Nan Paulina? How dope is it, you know?
And she's like, yeah, this is a bachelor pad. He goes, yeah, yeah, right, right. Wow, how dope you're here.
You're 41. So she's like, so do you have any friends who want to be in like a light relationship? And she tells us that her dream relationship is to be with like a man who doesn't live here, but like maybe has some other women on the side, but she wants to be the main bitch and then get some diamonds because she's going to let him sleep around. But like she's just still trying to push this pseudo poly storyline that she's talking. Her storyline this year is that she's into poly, but she's not actually doing any poly. She's just.
Right. She's just talking about it. She's Nima-ing it for this time. Right. So she's talking how she wants to be poly, but she wants to be like rich poly. She's like, I want to be poly, but like with a really rich guy who gives me more diamonds than the other girls. I'm like, okay. Way to rewrite it, but like, you know, harem. You do you.
Yeah.
So Mike's like, well, you know what? Most men are not wired to be monogamous. No, that's not true either. Stop. Yeah. Stop with this.
You do not get to be a representative of the entire gender, okay?
Right. He's the gatekeeper of monogamy now.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, most men are not wired to be monogamous, but like when you find someone that you fall in love with, then you're willing to live that way. You're willing to suffer, you know, for their love. You're willing to basically destroy everything that you're about to make her happy for one night.
And she's like, wow, you're making it sound like you're sacrificing some shit. And he goes, I never in my life thought I would get married again, but I'm going to get married again because I love misery. You know what? If there's a ball, I hope you chain it around my neck. That's going to feel good sometimes. Thought, will I splooge over a phone screen every once in a while? Sure. Okay? But I'm a man, and that's what we do.
I never thought I was going to get married again, but then I realized the first marriage wasn't even a real marriage. It was a spoof marriage. So really, this is my first marriage.
This one's rich, so I'm going to do it again. So she's saying that she used to really love Paulina, and she's like, she was so sassy, and I just felt like she was mean. But then all those text messages she sent out to everyone, I mean, that was shady. So she tells him, listen, I don't have a beef with the girl. I'm just disappointed because even when Jessica was upset with you, she didn't leak all your info to us. And I mean, I get that Paulina's younger, but maybe she was mad or sad or whatever, but that's not something to do to your man.
That's so strange.
go to bat against a woman, Gigi. Here we go.
Gigi's take on this
is not about him at all. It's not about his behavior at all. It's that he should be able to do that, and she should just learn to take it because he's a man.
She just still doesn't like receiving the text, I guess. So Mike says, you know what? I get hit up all the time in my DMs, sometimes by real people, sometimes by spoof people. But me answering them and me responding with questions, and some of my questions weren't even real questions. They were spoof questions. You got it. Yes. But you know what? I should not have done that. And for a woman like Paulina, who is fully invested in our relationship, this has taken away all the trust. All the trust now.
And she's like, yeah, but what she did is nuts, and that worries me for you. And so then he starts pulling his ear, because he's just done all of the lines he was supposed to. And he's like pulling his ear really hard, and he goes, It's like someone's offering him, you know, a plate of heroin or something when he's an addict, you know. He's like, oh, don't offer me that.
No, I just love Karen Burnett.
Yeah.
I learned everything I know in life from Karen Burnett.
So then we go to Reza's house, who's FaceTiming with his mom and his Fendi collar, because of course
he's all about the labels. And so the mom's like, so what did you do today, Reza Jun? And he's like, well, I'm working on my book. Oh, I'm not excited to be in your book. I don't want you to talk about bad things.
Yeah. And he's like, I know you don't want me to make the family look bad. And listen, it's just about me being gay and growing up in Beverly Hills during the hostage crisis and not killing myself and getting this far. She's like, oh my God, Reza. She's like, I don't want to get upset. And he's like, what? We're just talking.
So can you tell me about how you made dinner? I need to know how I became so fat before a bitch lost 40 pounds. So she's like, well, I would make 3 dinners, one for you, one for your sister, one for your dad. And then they start talking about how the dad was just like always having sex and just, oh, that's how he stayed so skinny, because he was always having sex. Ah, we can laugh about it now, Mom.
Yeah, he sure can. He's cracking up. And the mom says he would start at 8 in the morning and finish at 6 in the afternoon. He said, start what? And she said, sex with people. And he's like,
oh, that's good, Mom. That is good.
When he came home, he was very calm. You're just like that.
Bitch is making me laugh.
I love how honest she is with him, because he goes, at least you find out who you are. You know, when you find out who you are, you can work on yourself. And she goes, but you didn't. You know, now I look back at him and I think, you know, at least I went to therapy. I mean, he didn't do that. And she's like, well, I took him. But, you know, after that one session, the therapist called me and said, I'm sorry, I tried. He's like,
Mom, I'm supposed to be crying during this scene. You're making me laugh.
It was the most devastating time in my life.
You were hilarious. Mom.
Here, the man that I thought I'd be with me for the rest of my life was so terrible that even my therapist quit.
Mom.
God. So then we go to the Oaks at Lakeside. Where was this? The Oaks at Lakeside.
I can tell you. I'm so glad you asked, because when I saw that, you know what? I was like, I'm not going to share this on the podcast because this is literally a stupid story with no arc. But Encino. When I was an Uber driver, I once picked someone up from there and I had totally forgotten about this. And he was a chef. And I just remember making small talk with him. And he's like, oh, yeah, you should come to the restaurant because there's like this cool pond out back and there's like ducks and stuff. And it's like really cute. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll come, because I was like, it'll be a free meal. And I never went. And I just hadn't thought about that restaurant. And then when I saw it on the show, I was like, that was the place that I picked up the chef from. It was real special.
Mm-hmm. So Encino.
Encino. It's like on Ventura Boulevard. They make it look like it's in some remote part of the city. It's like literally on Ventura Boulevard, and there's like a little pond outside, out back.
Yeah. They make it look like everywhere in LA is like waterfront. And, you know, everybody's just like, let's go eat over at the lake. And I really never see any water unless I make the hour drive to the beach or whatever.
This show has really just like transitioned into a valley show. Like, I feel like every scene they do now is just some spot on Ventura Boulevard.
It's like Beverly Hills, right? It's like every show on Bravo is transitioning to the Valley, much like the populace of Los Angeles.
Much like the cast of Vanderpump Rules. Yeah. Which just wrapped season 9, according to, was it Tom or Ariana's Instagram? So, or it could have been someone else. Who knows? So, so Nima shows up at the restaurant and there's a bunch of angry ducks out back. And London's like sitting at the next table. Just like, just a casual person. I'm just like that guy in the corner at Stout while Reza shot his scene. That's who I am, babe. Just here, babe.
So she sits at a table and isn't conspicuous at all. Like, she could have just sat with her back to the view and seen them the whole time. But she's sitting sideways, so she has to have her head turned the whole time while she's while she's talking like into her phone while it's flipped up into the horizontal position. You know? Smooth, babe, smooth.
So Nima's like, London asking me to wear her earpiece is 10 out of 10 weird. I mean, I thought this is something that Tom Cruise did in Mission Impossible. I'm like, or like literally an anchorman on the local news. Like, let's not let's not elevate yourself. Okay, it's an earpiece. Relax.
Well, I'm just going to tell you little things to say, babe, okay? He says, is there like a safe word? What do you call those? And she goes, just say you need to use the restroom, okay? I mean, compliment the trees and the lights, and I'll meet you in the bathroom. It's like, oh, my God. She's literally texting this. She's literally here right now. This is crazy that we're doing this. God, I'm going to fuck this phone right now. I'm so feral.
What amazing content I'm generating for this television show. These hijinks will live on forever in highlight reels. Isn't this true? Wow. Wow.
So this adorable girl comes in, right?
Yeah. Like,
she's so beautiful. And he's like, oh, how are you? And she's like, wow, what a treat for you.
This is like the best date he's ever gone on. And she's going to feel so betrayed when she finds out that there was someone listening in. So then the waiter comes
by. I'm sure
by.
She had no idea with the 5 cameras pointing.
I know. One camera right in London's face as she's like, speaking very loudly. So the waiter comes by
with lighting on her in the dark restaurant, I'm sure.
So exactly, the lighting. So the waiter comes by and I was like, oh, I bet Ronnie has a very distinct opinion about this moment when the waiter goes, careful with these guys, they're homemade potato chips.
Well, they kept their back mostly to the camera, so I approved. They weren't like, hey, be careful of these potato chips with their face right in the camera like I would be.
I just like the idea of like dangerous potato chips. And even Allie, this is why I like Allie, because
people
she was
in LA will sue your ass over anything. Okay, I used to work in a Moroccan restaurant, and every time we served a tagine, they'd go ow right after you tell them this tagine is hot, just came out of the oven. Ow, that hurt.
Well, be careful with the potato chips. So
never underestimate the stupidity of a customer. Okay,
that's very true, especially on Shaw's of Sunset. So Allie is like, did he just tell us to be careful with the potato chips?
all right, ask her, how was your experience in dating so far? God, glad you have me here. Now that is a pro question. It's a pro question.
So she's like, well, you know, dating is weird. I mean, everyone comes out here and wants to be an actor, a singer, a musician. They just want to be on like a reality show or something like that. Oh my God, I'd be mortified to be on a reality show.
I know, says the girl shooting a scene for a reality show.
I know. Okay, ask her her thoughts on Melissa Etheridge. No, I don't want to date a lesbian. Oh, sorry you had to hear that, Allie.
Ask her if she's a dreamer or if she's a romantic and her goals.
Which, by the way, dreamer or romantic sort of sounds like a little bit the same thing, right?
Totally.
Ask her if she's a dreamer or if she closes her eyes and thinks of things when she sleeps. Just ask her.
Yeah. So Allie's like, before you find out all about me, why don't you tell me why you got divorced? Because you told everyone on Instagram, so it must not be that uncomfortable for you. And he's like, whoa, I forgot I said that. Oh, God.
Oh, that's a staggering amount of research you did into me. And then the ducks are quacking because they have this ongoing joke that the ducks pipe up whenever they're like irritated by them. And London's like, babe, say, damn, those are some angry ducks. What are you like when you're mad, by the way? And do you want to move in? I'm not looking for a lesbian, London.
He's like, are you someone that like projects stuff? And she's like, don't use therapy words, babe. don't use therapy words. And she goes, well, I'm like really empathetic. And I mean, sometimes I think that's my worst quality. And Nima's like, you know what? You need to take it in. The docks, the lights, the trees. I'll be back. Trees and lights, trees. Trees and lights. Hey, lesbian, get to the bathroom. Go to the bathroom, lesbian.
Ow! Damn it, I touched the potato chip. It really is hard.
So they go to the bathroom, and he's like, oh my god, I can't get any more in depth. I just want to make out with her now. I've got to stick my penis in something. I'm so feral.
Yeah, I just got to seal the deal. Much as I crush the dating apps, I need to crush this date. Yeah, man.
So then they just get out of there and get into cocktail.
Yeah. So then we go to Mike's building site, which we've all been dying to see, which is supposedly 4 months away. Isn't that what Mike said?
4 months away until the... Well, it was 4 months away, but it turns out all the cabinetry I bought was spoof cabinetry.
Yeah, because that ain't 4 months away. So the dad comes over, and Mike's really nervous. He's like, oh my god, Antonio, listen, you need to rush the tiles, okay? Because my dad's coming. My dad's coming, so rush. Like, cool, what is he going to get him delivered in the next 5 minutes?
Yeah, exactly. So then Mike does his normal spiel that he does every season at some point. Like, he will literally buy a fish fillet, and he'll launch into this.
When I first started ordering fish fillet, everyone was doubting me. My family... My friends, they said, you don't like fish fillet. But I've been on a journey, and guess what? I now have a fish fillet in my hand, and I'm going to eat it. Thank you. Thank you. I've been on a journey.
He does. And the clips that they show proving get longer every year, right?
Every year.
It's like another season of disappointments added. So now he's got, what, 6 seasons of disappointing businesses to add. Where his family's like, no, Mike, baby shoes. No, Mike, shoes. No, Mike, real estate. It's like a 10-minute clip of disappointment now.
I know. So his dad shows up. And dad's like, you got me showing up in COVID times to watch to see this piece of shit you're going to get sued on 4 times probably. Fine. So they walk around.
So Mike takes him through, giving him a tour, and he goes, look, you got the Hollywood Hills there? I'm like, wow, great job building the Hollywood Hills, Mike. He's like, oh, and you know what? Here's the kitchen. So look, you can do your coffee in the kitchen. And also, look at the kitchen. It's symmetrical. I don't have high hopes for this. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, I don't either. So the dad gets mad about something, about the ceilings, like the space. I don't know. Maybe he felt like the space was wasted or something. Or he was
because they were supposed to have high ceilings and they made a drop ceiling.
Oh, I think. I don't know. I was having a hard time following what the annoyance was. But yeah, I guess it was a drop ceiling and there was a light issue. And he's like, now you got to take out these 2 lights and everything. He's like really pissed about everything. But he's like... this is the farthest my son has come along on any project he's done, so I'll just pretend like I'm proud of him, even though he really fucked up the ceilings.
Yeah, the dad's like, happy. I just want you to know that you're not in prison or dead yet, so that's something. He's like, oh, Dad, thank you, Paulina! So then we go over to MJ's, and London comes over for a little visit. Wow, is this tea, babe? I love tea. Babe, your house. Babe, there's rose petals. Babe, are these for me? Babe!
Yeah, she's just really, really overdoing it. So, babe.
What do you think about Babesgiving?
Babe, yeah. I've never seen you like that before, babe. What was that like? And MJ's like, well, I don't like to self-medicate, but I think I'm lonely with, you know, I had postpartum and... After that, I stayed home and I lost my whole friends group. And then my husband wasn't around because he's going to a court case where my best friend was the plaintiff. And I miss my old life.
Also, you moved to Calabasas. Let's not just leave that one out there. That's not just like over the hill. Okay. No. That's a long ass drive.
Yeah.
So she's saying that they still have a restraining order against them. So it's still fresh wounds. And, you know, she's also got her issues with Tommy because she can't talk about the main three with him because he gets mad. And then we see a clip of Tommy going, if you want to talk about those 3 pieces of shit, then yeah, all you're going to hear from me is that they're pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Hello, my darling. Hello, my baby. What? You still want me to entertain shams or what, huh?
So London now has more relationship advice, and she's like, okay, have you ever heard of the intimacy challenge? Yeah, babe. It's great. Okay,
you guys stare in each other's eyes for 5 minutes, and then I talk to you in an earpiece, and then ducks quack, and you have to see how intimate you can get.
But her advice, I mean, you know what you should do? You should cook his favorite meal and just heels and nothing else. What is this, 1950?
It's the Red Shoe Diaries.
Cook a nice dinner for your husband and make it sexy. And MJ is like, yeah, he really just wants a head rub. So yeah. they do a role playing.
It's like a role playing thing where I'm not gonna lie, I zoned out. I was like, I've had too much London, you know, quasi advice for the episode. Just her being like, yeah, babe, hey babe, can I rub your head? And I was like, I can't.
That was pretty much it. Yeah, that was pretty much it.
I can't do this.
Okay, so let's go to boat rentals. Whoa, yeah. Is this the same place? Because this has a pond with boat rentals in it.
I was wondering that also. I didn't know where this one. I could not place this one. I thought maybe it might have been like the Echo Park, like the Echo Park Lake, maybe, because I've seen boats on that one. But I'm not sure Mike and Paulina are the type to go to Echo Park for like a romantic evening. So they probably were just like behind a flooded Target somewhere. So they get on these like swans that are like pedal boats, and Paulina's like all dressed up because she thought Mike said, "Hey, Paulina, tonight we're going on a boat, a luxury boat, a boat unlike any other boat before you've been on before. It's a swan, and you have to pedal.
It's and a paddle boat.
Put on a life preserver too over your beautiful outfit.
I'm glad you wore your Louboutin for the paddle boat, the paddle boat swan. So she's going to ruin the bottoms of those damn shoes. And those red soles are expensive, okay? So she's ruining shoes to be in the scene with him. So he's like, God, I love you. I love you so much. He's like love bombing her really hard.
Yeah.
And they're talking about kids and how it's like really hard because of COVID. Like, it's hard having two kids. He goes, oh, but I want four kids. Like, maybe twins. You know what? I want you to go to the fertility doctor because I want to make sure we get your best eggs.
I want the best sperm and the best eggs. I'm like, okay, you're not at like you're not at the Four Seasons ordering champagne. Okay, that's even right. Paulina. Even
you're not Paulina's at a like, diner. I want your best eggs.
Even Paulina's like, I don't think that's how they do it. I mean, does he know how many sperm come out when you splooge? I mean, he seems to have.
Well,
a
if
lot.
Anyone does, it's him. Yeah. So she's like, I don't think that's how it works. And he goes, that's exactly how they do it. Because Mike knows.
Yeah, Mike the doctor. So then they get back onto land and sit at a table. And then he goes, so how was your day? I'm like, wait, you spent all this time? You drove to this anonymous lake with the swans and you did a whole swan ride and you're only getting around to asking her how her day is right now? He's a terrible boyfriend.
So then he goes, you know, it's difficult for me because I went from single rock star. You know, that's what I call myself, a rock star. She goes, oh my God, air guitar? I thought you were a drummer.
Rock stars.
But now she's even disappointed in him in his fantasies.
Yeah, and like he's trying to like phrase this as a... he's trying to show how much he's grown because she's saying how school's opening for her kids and it's stressful. And he goes, I went from single rock star to full-on dad. Sad, locked down, forced to be monogamous, the sacrifice I make, dad. That's what I am.
Living in a fuck pad in Hollywood at the same time. You are not a full-on dad, sir.
You're literally not. You're literally in a separate domicile. So, so Paulina's like, honestly, I'm like so blessed that I have someone who cares so much about my kids. Like, I'm so blessed right now. Yeah.
I love these two kids like they came from me, you know, because I get to be a part of a family and, you know, I have a woman who loves me and puts up with my shit and, you know, she's given me two little creatures that fill my heart with joy. It's like, wow, these should be your wedding vows. Yeah. I found a woman to put up with my shit. You're great. Okay.
And she has creatures. You're my everything and I love you to death and I'm going to work hard. Paulina, I'm learning how to express myself. Paulina! See, I just expressed myself in a more calm and loving manner. So it'd be more like, Paulina, because then I think I come across a little aggressive, you know, and I want to work on showing you who's the most important person in my life, which is you, Paulina. Oh, that was aggressive. I'm sorry.
And this pretty much sums up who Mike is. He ends the episode by saying, I'm working overtime on changing the narrative of who Mike is. Well, that's the problem. You only want to change the narrative
You only want to change what other people are saying about who you are. Right. You don't actually do anything to change yourself. Living in a funk bad. Give me a break.
Yeah. It just that he has so many unforced errors. He has so many unforced errors. And, you know, the narrative is there for a reason. It didn't come out of thin air.
Oh, God. Okay, well, that's the end of Shaws of Sunset.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Our next episode, we'll be back to talk some Below Deck Med. So be sure to watch and catch up on that. And, you know, follow us on social meds. We're at Watch What Crappens on Instagram, and we're at What Crappens on Twitter. And then you can follow Ronnie and I at Ronnie Karam, at Ben Mantelker, and on all the platforms. So go do that, and we'll talk to you in the next episode.
Bye. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Coutar. We love you guys.